From WXXI News, this is Arts Friday on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour will be made on Sunday, April 26th at 7 p.m. at the Kodak Hall at Eastman Theater. The Rochester Music Hall of Fame will induct a new class, the class of 2015, and this hour we'll welcome members of the Hall of Fame Board to find out how they made some of the decisions on this year's class. We'll find out what's in store for the ceremony with folks who are helping produce that ceremony. And we're going to run down the list and hear from a couple of the performers who will be there for that ceremony. Again, that's coming up April 26th on a Sunday later this month. So hard to believe we're right back here talking about another class. Let me go ahead and welcome our guests in studio. The man who's the reason that there is a Rochester Music Hall of Fame is Carl LaPorta, who's back here. Nice to see you, Carl. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us. And happy Good Friday.
There you go, and happy induction class. It's, you know, Carl has talked about the fact that this was a dream for so long, you didn't know you'd ever get one class, let alone three or four or five or however many we end up with. So we'll have plenty to talk about this.
Absolutely.
Also here is Tracy Croft, who's a board member. Tracy, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Bruce Pilato is sort of the mad genius who helps produce the ceremony. He's a board member. He's an encyclopedic mind on music history, Rochester music history, and he's here as well. Nice to see you, Bruce.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
You are the reason that the ceremony is not only a well-oiled machine, but it's also 3 hours plus as opposed to five, because you know you could go 4 or 5 hours easy.
Yeah, well, we've been hitting the...
and you almost have, I think.
We've hit almost 4 hours in the past, but, you know, it's an award show. It's like the Oscars or the Grammys. It's, you know, the best laid plans can go astray once you get somebody in front of a microphone thinking they're eighth grade a music teacher, you know.
Well, you know, but at the same time, there have been some really, really special moments in the past, and that's why they haven't cattle prodded people off the stage yet. Maybe this year, Carl, a cattle prod or a blinking lights, maybe?
Well, electric cattle prod. Sure.
You have such... This is a good problem to have, Carl. Every year now, people are wondering who's going to make the cut, who will be on the list. And I also know that privately every year, you do get feedback from people who say, how could you not choose so-and-so? Which, again, this has to fall under a good problem to have.
Mm-hmm. It is. And usually the people that contact us... I can't say that they're wrong, because the people that they want into the Hall of Fame deserve to be into the Hall of Fame. But the problem is we can only do so many each year, and we have to cover different genres of music. And there's a lot of things we take into consideration, including the health, the age of people, the availability. But we can promise you eventually we'll get to them all.
Okay, well, let's start to go down the list. And again, as we go throughout the hour here, we're going to hear some different sound clips. We're going to hear from some of the performers coming up, because your list has a diversity of genre. And that is part of the mission, as you say, Carl.
Correct.
Okay, so give me that outline of the mission. There are so many different genres of music in Rochester. You could go from classical to rock and roll and just about everything in between.
Mm-hmm. Well, our mission statement basically says that we would recognize those with ties to the Rochester whose talents, efforts, and perseverance and creativity have contributed to the creation of musical excellence. And we do it in a diverse musical, in a diverse musical way, mm-hmm. To make sure that we are covering all the genres of music. So that's basically what we have to do. And it's quite a job for us, but it's the selection committee that agonizes over this all year, up until they bring it before the board, then they have to deal with us after that. So it's not an easy thing, and we just, you know, we do the best we can, but we totally understand how people feel about this, and we do our best.
Tracy's here to tell us all the people who barely didn't make the cut, right, Tracy?
Yeah, that's a 50-page document. You know, I mean, we've got a lot of diverse musical talent here in Rochester, and it's going to take us a while to hit all of them. We're going to be ancient by the time. I think about that sometimes. You know, we got to bring some new young blood in there, because 20 years from now, when we're still doing this, it's going to be hard.
And clearly, I think you still will. This is how rich of a music town this is. So the 2015 inductees, let's start down the list. Ron Carter. So I'll open it up to the board. Who wants to give me a brief sketch on Ron Carter and why he was chosen? Carl, Bruce?
Well, he's probably the most recorded bass player in modern history. He's on over 2,500 recordings. He's worked with everybody from, you know, Billy Joel. And funny enough, one of our inductees was Gene Cornish of the Rascals. He actually played bass on some of the Rascals' recordings from the 60s. But he's best known as a jazz icon, Miles Davis bass player. He's played with Chick Corea. He's played with all those guys. So he's got a very, very, very big catalog of his own music. So he will be here. Some of his music will be performed also with Jeff Campbell, who is the kind of the head upright bass guy at the Eastman.
I think we have a short clip of Ron Carter, Mana de Carnaval, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Let's listen briefly, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about Ron's music. All right, I can feel that in my sternum. I love the sound of that bass. Just feel it right there. And Bruce, you said you had a story to share.
Well, it was funny because I'm working with Gap, who's one of our other inductees, which we'll talk about in a minute. But, we do a film of each person before they come out, a little five-minute thing. And he was going through a bunch of old photographs from his family. And, of course, the Mangione family used to have all these great jazz guys come over when they would play the Pithod and some of those area jazz clubs. They would come to the Mangione house for macaroni 2 a.m. Anyways, he's got an amazing picture of Ron Carter and Dizzy Gillespie, playing chess, just incredible stuff. A lot of great history here.
How do you feel, Tracy, about this one, Ron Carter leading off?
I think it's a perfect, we've been trying to get Ron for a while, and his schedule is one of those that, he had some conflicts every year, and we've been wanting him, and this year is the magic year.
That's an important point, too, that for our audience who's wondering, how come this person this year? There are so many different options for the Rochester Music Hall of Fame. There were some charter members. Some people, every year somebody says, well, where is Steve Gadd? Where is Renee Fleming? And to the point about scheduling, Tracy, as soon as we line that up in the future, they probably will be here for a ceremony, yes?
Yes. The moment they say we're available, they're here.
Yeah, they've both said yes. They both said they're coming, but we haven't been able to lock it in. One of the problems we have is that our event is always the last Sunday in April, which coincides with the big Rhythm and Blues Jazz Festival in New Orleans. And Gadd always plays that with either James Taylor or Clapton or one of his jazz groups. So it's been tough. Steve's been hard to nail down, but he wants to do it. And Renee's on Broadway right now. That's why she couldn't do it.
But that's to the point about doing this for the next 20 years or more. That's just another reminder that those charter members will be here eventually. So so there you go. So there's Ron Carter. Let's go down the list. Next one is Henry Jeskowitz. And for people who don't know that name, that will be some in our audience. Bruce, Carl?
I'll talk about Henry, and then I'll let you get into some of the other ones, Carl. Henry is a very unique guy. I've known him for a while. He went to Bishop Kearney, actually, with my brother. grew up here. Eventually got his MBA at Harvard Business School. He had bought his first guitar at age 16 at the House of Guitars. He bought a Gibson. And, he's got this little saying that I like the guitar so much I decided to buy the company. He got a group of investors together in the 80s. The company was on its knees. They were down to 70 employees. They were probably a couple of years away from bankruptcy. And he took this great legendary American company, which has been around since the mid-1800s, and brought it back. It's now up to almost 1,300 employees. They make all their guitars in the United States. It's the number one musical instrument company. And they've since gone on, they bought Steinway. So that's under the Gibson umbrella now. So it's really a great American success story of music. And what we're doing to celebrate Henry is, he plays guitar, but he's not really a musician. We've put together something similar to what we did for the House of Guitars last year, which was an all-star kind of lineup. And we're lucky enough to have Chris Daughtry and Elvio Fernandez, who's a local, great local musician, part of the Daughtry band. They're going to come in and do a couple of songs. We also have Pat Travers, who's a great blues rocker. He's going to best known for a song called Boom Boom Out Go the Lights. And then we're very excited. We just landed Randy Bachman, the founding member of the Guess Who and Bachman Turner Overdrive, and I think he'll be taking care of business when he comes.
When you put together that kind of a rundown, Bruce, you want to make sure that it honors someone appropriately. So someone like Henry, you've already put together sort of a great all-star list. How many songs total?
Well, that's still to be determined. Okay. Probably about five all in with everybody. I think Randy will do a couple. Pat might only just do one, but it'll be extended. And then Daughtry's going to do a couple. But, you know, the idea is, I mean, for the amount of money you pay for this show, the tickets are very reasonable. To see that kind of talent, I mean, those three guys alone have probably sold about 30 million records, 40 million, just put that group together.
And to Bruce's point about tickets, tickets are on sale now at the Eastman box office, at Wegmans. Anywhere else I'm missing? Online probably, Carl?
Yeah, www.rochestermusic.org. That's our website. You can get them through there.
Okay, so. And before I bring in our next guest here, Carl, real briefly, when you look down this list here, the neat thing about Henry's story, as Bruce was telling us, was he saved this company and he built it up and he made it iconic. But it really did start with him just banging away on a guitar first, right? I mean, this was not a businessman who made a business decision first and foremost. This was a guy who just loved the product.
Right. He had a passion for music and guitars. And, you know, there's been a few people. I think Bruce's brother went to school with him at Bishop Kearney.
Yeah.
But several people have told me that he really had a passion for music. And I believe that all the guitars are made in this country.
Yeah, they're all made in the United States. And Henry was in a bunch of local bands around here. I don't know the names of any of them, but he gave me some information for the film. He said this was the name of the band I was in Rochester. So, you know, it's interesting. I mean, we really try to make the Rochester connection when we do this.
The Music Hall of Fame, the Rochester Music Hall of Fame's induction ceremony is Sunday, April 26th, coming up later this month, 7 p.m. at Kodak Hall at Eastman Theater. And our next guest, let me bring in on the line, is Thomas Warfield, the nephew of an inductee named William Warfield, who we all know. And Thomas, thank you for taking the time to join the program.
Oh, sure. It's my pleasure.
Well, Thomas, William Warfield, on the list of the inductees of the class of 2015, what does that mean to the Warfield family?
Well, we're very, very happy that this is happening, and we're so grateful to the Rochester Music Hall of Fame to induct my uncle. As you probably know, he's internationally famous bass baritone, and gave us that marvelous rendition of Old Man River in MGM's film Showboat. And you know, he went on to open doors for many African American singers throughout the world in the classical field. So it's wonderful that his town where he grew up is honoring him in this way. We're very excited.
It's a great story. And what Thomas is talking about, Old Man River, 1951 was the MGM film Showboat. And Thomas, true or false, William not only sang across the globe, he sang in multiple languages.
Oh, yes. He was actually one of the world's great interpreters of German Lieder. In the art song, classical art song. And so, yes, he did. He did, of course, also the Porgy and Bess, the very famous Porgy and Bess production with his wife, Leontine Price, also back in the 50s. And he sung Porgy and Bess in many different countries. So he sung it in Russian and Italian and German. And so, so he definitely was a master at languages.
He made a number of different tours for the U.S. State Department, right?
Yes, actually, he still holds the record for the most tours, Goodwill tours for the State Department of any artist, American artist. So he did many, many, many world tours for the State Department, yes.
And I've been reading on some of the background that in 1977, the William Warfield Scholarship Fund was formed at the Eastman School. Is that also right, Thomas?
Yes, yes. Just a sort of quick story about that. The Scholarship Fund was started in 1977 by Tessa Martin, who had heard William Warfield and Leontine Price in her native Greece back in the early 50s, I believe, And when she moved to the States with her husband, she moved to Rochester, New York. And it just so happened that her son went to Harley School, and his classmate was Thomas Warfield, me. And when she found that out, she asked my mom if we were related to a singer named William Warfield. And we said, well, yes, of course. And then my mother said, that's my brother-in-law. And, you know, as things go, eventually she thought, well, we need to have a scholarship fund in his name. And that's how the scholarship was actually created. And so all these almost 40 years now, the scholarship has been supporting students, voice students at the Eastman School. And actually, one of those students will be performing at the Music Hall of Fame, Jamal Moore, who many people may know from the television show where he was with the Yellow Jackets. Excuse me. And they've been, now he's got a group that's been touring around the world, and he's coming back to sing Old Man River.
Wonderful. I love the symmetry there. And we're talking to Thomas Warfield, the nephew of inductee William Warfield, an inductee in this class of the 2015 for the Rochester Music Hall of Fame. And Thomas, I'm going to tell Bruce Pilato that if you want to go along with your stories, Bruce is not to cut you. I could listen to your stories all day. Bruce, no hook for Thomas. What is your role going to be coming up later this month, Thomas, at the ceremony?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't quite hear you.
I want to make sure I understand what your role is going to be at the ceremony.
Oh, I'm also performing. I'll be doing a song from Porgy and Bess at the induction, at the ceremony. And so I'm looking forward to that as well. So we'll have two, we'll represent my uncle very well, I think, on that night.
Thomas, before I let you go, I've tried to read up on your uncle's background as best I could, but what I don't know, and forgive me for not knowing, is I don't know how much time you had a chance to spend with him before he passed away in 2002. What were your early memories of?
Well, you know, he and I were actually very close, and he was a very close family man, in a sense. You know, he and Leontine were married over 20 years, but they never had children. And so his nephews and nieces were really, in a sense, his children. And he was here in town very often, especially during the holiday time. I did a number of concerts with him in different places around the country, mostly dance. My background is mostly dance, but I also sang from time to time. But so he was very involved with our lives, and especially, you know, when I was younger and first moved to New York and was pursuing performing arts, you know, he was very interested in what I was doing and was very helpful in things that I was trying to get into. And so I had a very close relationship with him. And then I've been president of the William Warfield Scholarship Fund. So, we definitely missed him tremendously, but I'm so grateful for all that he created and all that he gave both to the world and to our family.
How good was that bass baritone of his?
Oh, extraordinary. And, you know, even towards the end of his, he was still performing almost up to the end of his life, and he still had that glorious voice.
Well, Thomas, we're looking forward to seeing you at the ceremony on the 26th of April on Sunday night for the Rochester Music Hall of Fame. Thanks for sharing some of the stories, the memories, and some of the colorful background on your uncle. Congratulations to your family, and thanks for calling the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thomas Warfield joining us, and he will be there on the 26th. I love those stories. And, you know, so, Carl, again, I keep going back to the fact that you had this idea without knowing if it would ever come to fruition. And now you get to see what it means. It clearly means a lot to someone like Thomas Warfield. You could hear it.
Absolutely. And it was just an idea that I had that I decided to write a letter to the editor in the paper. And I never expected the outpouring I got from people such as Bruce and Tracy and other board members and many people in the area that realized that Rochester was a wealth of music talent and that we deserved something to honor local musicians. So that's, and we've got it to the point now where because of the great board members that we have and the hard work they've put in, I think our show is second to none. It's kind of like a Grammy type of event.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, I'm involved with some of these national programs as well. Such I've been involved with the Grammys for almost 20 years. You know, we execute it like live television. We do film it. It's a four camera shoot. Right now, it's only been filmed for posterity, but eventually, maybe we'll have a 50-year best of kind of thing that we can hopefully get on a station like XXI. But we do try to execute it like live television. It's all kind of scripted in terms of the time we allot for everything. And there's a lot that goes into it. It's actually fashioned after the Kennedy Center Awards. We do a film, we give the award, and then we have a musical tribute. That's pretty much the format.
And tickets are on sale now. Bruce used the term reasonable, but we didn't mention that. I think that what I saw is between 25 and 65, or in that range of is that right?
Yes, there's $65 tickets, mm-hmm. and there's $50, and there's $35 tickets. And we also have a special discounted ticket for teachers and students. It's you get a $35 ticket for $20. And all you have to do is go online or go into Wegmans or go right to the box office. And there's a code that you would be able to put in, and you'd be able to get your tickets for $20. Where are you going to see Chris Daughtry? Where are you going to see the level of talent, Randy Bachman or any of the guests that we have for that price? And it's also an educational night. We've had several teachers that have actually given their kids extra credit for attending the show. So we're trying to make people aware that it's not only entertaining but educational.
Let me grab a phone call, and this is Tom. Tom, thanks for calling the program. Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much, Evan. Not to patronize you, but maybe a tiny bit. I listen to you very regularly. I drive for a living, and you probably have one of the most informative programs in the whole area, bar none. Now that got you completely embarrassed.
That's very kind. Thank you.
Appreciate that. I'm learning a lot from all your different programs. I've hosted my own jazz program locally here for about 32 years. I had a lot of hair back then, so a lot of things have changed since then. And I want to thank Carl for coming up with this idea. I also had a suggestion, and it's something that, both Chuck Mangione and Steve Gadd have both credited this gentleman I'm about to say. You probably know where I'm going with this, Carl, but the great Rochester saxophonist, the late Joe Romano.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Who played with, I wouldn't even be in radio if it weren't for me kind of getting hooked on this wonderful art form, mm-hmm. Listening to him at a place called the Portside. And, of course, Joe played with, Louis Belson, Buddy Rich, Woody Herman, Thad Jones, Mel Lewis Orchestra. He sat with Charlie Parker at the Times Square Lounge, which is across this kind of kitty corner from the Moore Memorial. And, I actually had the pleasure of writing liner notes for his one and only CD. Joe mm-hmm. passed away, as you probably know,
yes.
several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He credited both Chuck and Steve, Steve and Chuck both, credited Joe for their careers. And he used to let them sit in. And obviously, it's a very rich history. And I was wondering, Carl, if I could kind of throw his name in the hat. Thank you for your time.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Tom, thanks for the call. Carl, go ahead.
Well, Joe Romano is one of the names that has been nominated. On our website, we have a nomination page, and we invite the public to go to that site and nominate whoever they feel is a potential inductee into the Rochester Music Hall of Fame. And his name has been brought up there many times. And so he is on our list. I mean, we don't officially call them inductees until our review board goes through it and the criteria and everything. But, in Joe's case, I mean, it's a pretty much given that he will be inducted. So there we go with that list again. And there's so many that, like I said, eventually we're going to get to him. But that was a great call, and he is definitely a great musician. A name that will definitely be out there.
He's on the short list.
He's on the short list. Well, you heard the panel mention earlier that there will be those performances, the Gibson All-Star Band, to honor Henry Jeskovitz, the chairman and CEO of Gibson Guitar Corp, the corporation, and with Rochester tie, that great story of him sort of resurrecting that company. And one of the great performances we're going to see will come from Elvio Fernandez and Daughtry himself. And so before I even play a clip, well, actually, let's do this. Some of you may know, a lot of people know, he's become very, very popular. Chris Daughtry and Elvio Fernandez, a Rochester native, tours with him, plays with him. But let's listen to a clip of Daughtry singing probably his most popular song, and it's the one that you'll say, ah, yes, that's called Home. Let's listen. All right, so that's Daughtry, and Elvio Fernandez has become known for his work with Daughtry, but also known for his own work in his own right. And so Elvio's going to join us by phone later this hour. Before he does that, let me just at least embarrass him. We've talked about possible future inductees. Tracy, he's young enough that you're not worried about him yet.
No, I'm sure he's on the short list.
His name come up in the past, Elvio's?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yep, he's an incredible talent and a Rochester favorite for sure. I think that I've been a fan of his for longer than I care to mention.
And listening to what we just heard, comparing that to the William Warfields of the world and the other music we're going to hear this hour, Gap Mangione, I mean, it really is a remarkably broad range that goes into the Hall of Fame.
And that's the point. Rochester has this incredible pool of talent in all these different genres of music, and we want to highlight all of them and make it a diverse show and make our Hall of Fame a collection of very diverse talent.
How did you end up locking down Daughtry and Elvio to come join you? I mean, that is probably, Bruce, along the lines of the big gets for your show.
Yeah, I'd love to take credit for it. I can't. actually, the two of our other board members, Kevin Hart and Jimmy Richmond, who's our musical director and kind of one of the driving forces behind our house band, which is Primetime Funk, they're very good friends with Elvio, and you know, we just kicked it around. I mean, the people who we came very close to getting for this show but couldn't because of their schedules. I mean, I got a wonderful email from Peter Frampton, I got a wonderful email from Keb Moe, I got a wonderful email from Nile Rodgers. All these guys wanted to be there, but you know, Nile's in Europe and Frampton was performing on the West Coast. We couldn't get him here in time. So, you know, we were lucky to get the ones that we got, and of course Daughtry is great because, you know, it's great to have somebody that the younger people are really into. I mean, you know, the classic rock guys like Randy Bachman are great, but, you know, high school kids don't necessarily know who the Guess Who are or who Bachman, Turner, Overdrive, but they all know who Daughtry is.
Does that make you a little nostalgic, a little sad?
Yeah, well, you know. You know, we're going to try to keep as many of the performers, you know, under the Social Security mark as we can. You know? but it's going to be a fun show. And, of course, Wilmer is a big one, too. We're very excited about that. You know, a lot of people don't realize, I mean, unless you grew up in Rochester in the 60s and early 70s, you might not know who Wilmer Alexander Jr. and the Dukes were, but they were the band in upstate New York. You know, African-American lead singer with a white band. It was very unusual in the 60s. They were kind of a blend between what was going on at Motown and the blue-eyed soul movement that was going on with the Righteous Brothers and all of that. And, of course, they had this one huge record called Give Me One More Chance, which sold over 600,000 copies. And they were just known as the bar band, but they were more than a bar band, you know, because they had original material. And the biggest claim to fame is they were the inspiration for Otis Day and the Nights in the movie Animal House. The guy who wrote Animal House said it was, you know, Wilmer Alexander Jr. and the Dukes was the band he used to see at his frat parties. And that's where that came from.
What a great story. And we happen to have a clip from Give Me One More Chance. Let's listen. Yeah. They were known as the tightest soul band of the 60s. But Bruce, again, that's fascinating history to think about, the fact that hopefully today in 2015 no one would ever blink at, you know, a black singer, a white band, but different age, different time.
Yeah, I mean, this was during the I Have a Dream speech, so yeah. It was very unusual for that to be going on. They actually had a lot of success on the West Coast. It was kind of the East Coast and the West Coast, not too much in the middle. But we're excited because Wilmer's going to be there. He's not in great health, but his daughter is going to get him there. And there's two or three of the band members still alive. And they're going to perform with our house band, Primetime Funk. So, you know, Wilmer hasn't been in the area in decades. And, here's my one taste of my relationship with Wilmer. I have a sister who's 8 years older than me, and she used to go to Bristol Ski Resort. They used to play Sunday afternoons, and they had a big sock hop kind of thing. And one time my father said, come on, we got to go get your sister out at Bristol. So I went out, and I got to see the last 5 minutes of Wilmer in one of the shows. That was the extent of my
seeing. How was it?
Seeing that. They were amazing. They were just awesome.
Well, go ahead, Carl. I know you want to jump in.
Carl's seen him a bunch of times.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was my era. That was anybody that you talk to, when you mention Wilmer and the Dukes, they automatically go back to a memory. And I've got a couple of them. And one of them was Wilmer Alexander and the Dukes had canceled a job. Something happened where they couldn't play at Bristol Mountain. So they called a band that I was in. And we went up there and played, and everybody was expecting Wilmer. And it was like, oops. We did okay, but it was kind of...
You felt like they had under-promised and you'd over-promised and under-delivered.
Right, exactly. And but the one memory that I have, and I've never forgotten this, is we were playing at a fraternity party at the U of R. And Wilmer Alexander and the Dukes were playing at McQuaid, I believe it was. And they finished earlier than we did. And he stopped down and he talked to our manager, and our manager asked, would you like to sit in and do a song? He ended up doing like three songs with us, and it immediately, the place went insane. He had such an effect on people, not only with his great voice, but with his mannerisms and how he conducted himself on stage. It was something that I never forgot he was just an amazing talent.
I'm way late for a break, but I want to stay on this theme for one more minute and just ask, when you hear the quality of what we just heard, I mean, that is a tight sound. It's beautiful stuff. And you hear about these stories about the inspiration they were for, you know, different people in different settings, the way they inspired audiences. And you wonder why they didn't break through anymore, why they aren't, you know, the same way a household name that some other musical acts are. I don't have a good answer for that, but the quality of the sound sounds to me like it very well could have.
The problem was is that one song hit so big so quickly, and they had been playing a lot of covers, and they were under the gun to write original material, and, you know, they were working all the time.
Interesting, yeah.
So, you know, if you don't have time to sit down and write, and you're playing Mustang Sally and those kinds of songs, you know, eventually your time passes you by, and I think that's kind of what happened with those guys.
And it's the dilemma for any band that wants to gig, make a little money, you got to play a lot of covers, and all of a sudden you find yourself really working at that. I mean, I could think of a number of bands locally right now that would love to spend more time on original material, but sometimes the world doesn't always have time for original material, and then that's the catch-22. You finally strike gold, but you don't have something to back it up immediately. How interesting, yeah. Well, what a great story. Look at these great stories that we're uncovering as we go through the Rochester Music Hall of Fame class of 2015 with the three board members and folks who are putting together that great show that's coming up later this month. Carl LaPorte is here, Bruce Pilato, Tracy Croft, and we've heard from Thomas Warfield, the nephew of an inductee, William Warfield, and Thomas is going to be at the show. If you want to go to the show, the tickets are available. Sunday, the 26th of April, it's at 7 o'clock at the Kodak Hall at Eastman Theater. You can get tickets at Wegmans, at the Eastman Box Office, at the House of Guitars, and on the website as well. So a lot of different places you can get tickets to go check it out. Short break, and we're going to continue the discussion as we run down some of the other inductees of the class of 2015 next. Coming up in our second hour, we've heard astrophysicist Adam Frank say that the human race is reaching the end of its childhood. It's time to start behaving like an adult and shepherd this planet in a sustainable direction. And that idea is at the heart of a new film festival called the Fast Forward Film Festival. We'll meet some of the filmmakers, tell you about how you can see their films, and find out how the films were chosen, all next hour on Connections.
Civilians can wind up in the military justice system if they accuse a service member of rape.
It is like entering another world.
Those civilians discover the disadvantages of not being in uniform.
Anytime I would ask a question, they did what they had to do, which was say, I can't advise you, I can't advise you.
That story later today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 on your NPR News station.
Welcome back to Connections. Carl LaPorta created this whole thing, so my guess is Carl is the czar, that if he decides he wants someone in the Rochester Music Hall of Fame, well, maybe you can bend the rules. But are there qualification standards? Some people may be surprised to hear, Carl, that all of these people are eligible, that they in some way have connections to our city, to Western New York. How did you decide how you want to kind of create an eligibility?
Well, the first thing I wanted to do was separate myself from the idea that maybe I did have a little bit of influence on who should be get in. So what we did was we put together a selection committee. And the committee actually agonized creating these rules. What they did was they did some research. They found how other Music Hall of Fames work this. We actually got together with the Buffalo Music Hall of Fame in Batavia a couple of times and talked to them, and they showed us how they worked and what was successful, trial and error with them, with their ceremonies each year. And then we finally came up with our own criteria. And the hardest thing to do, I guess, is for the selection committee to sit back there and say, okay, what do we do for this year? Because you might have 20 people in one genre that we could easily induct in a particular year. That's the hardest part. So they have to really take into consideration, as I said, health, age, availability, genre. And then it comes down to sometimes you just have to pick somebody. It's really not that easy. And as I said, sometimes people out there wonder why we do what we do. But that's really a tribute to the talent that we have here in our city.
I'm going backwards through the list here because we've been going down the list of 2015 inductees. But your first class was when?
2012.
So starting with 2012, the list there, Cab Calloway, Gene Cornish, Dorio Anthony Dwyer, Joe English, Corinthian Hall, the performances of Jenny Lind, Chuck Mangione, Charles Strauss, Jeff Tysick. That's the class of 2012, not counting the charter members, right?
Correct.
2013 included George Eastman, Lou Gramm, Son House, Bat McGrath, Mitch Miller, Nick Nixon, Jack Palvino, and Don Potter. And then last year, the class of 2014, Duke Jupiter, David Hochstein, Emily Sibley Watson, The House of Guitars, WDKX Radio, and I think that's, and then there was a couple of special merit winners as well there. So so that's the list so far. There have been some great performances already. Bruce Pallotta, what is your favorite performance moment so far at these ceremonies?
Oh,
you got to pick one.
If I had to pick one, it was probably the Soul All-Stars that we put together for DKX. We got the lead singer from the Stylistics, Kathy Sledge from Sister Sledge, and the lead singer from the Impressions. And, you know, originally they were each going to do one of their hits, and then we brought them in early because they helped us do media and on the Friday before. And they all hung out for the weekend, and then they ended up doing, basically, it was like the Rat Pack. They got up there together and they sang each other's hits, and it was really great. I just love putting guys that have never played together on a stage and saying, okay, here it is, you know, go for it. There's usually one rehearsal, if there's any rehearsals. And of course, we have the greatest house band in the world, Primetime Funk. I can't say enough about these guys, Jimmy Richmond and the other guys that are in the band, Dave Cohen on drums. Tracy could probably name the guys better than I can. They are just such seasoned, great musicians. And, you know, we've got, getting back to the list of future inductees, there's still many, many big names that we can go through.
All right, so there's your moment. Tracy, your favorite moment so far?
I have a few favorite moments, but I think one of them is when Gene Cornish, in accepting his award, got all choked up and had to take a moment. And when Chuck Mangione said, you know, of all the awards he received, this one meant the most to us, most to him, because it was from his hometown. And that says a lot, I think.
Yeah, great moments. Carl, you got to pick one. Tracy kind of picked two, but it's the same theme. But
okay, all right.
Go ahead.
Can I do two?
All right.
Well, Bat and Don. Don Potter, Bat McGrath doing Over the Rainbow.
Yeah, that was a great one.
That was an incredible moment, and they hadn't been together in, what, 40 years?
43 years. They had played years with some of the Chuck Mangione Friends in Love reunion things, but just being Don and Bat as everybody knew them, they had not performed in 43 years. So it was a bit like the Sunshine Boys. It was, but we made it work.
And the other one was Charles Strauss. When he did his medley, which included Put on a Happy Face, and he did Annie and Bye Bye Birdie and the theme song from All in the Family. Both those two performances, the litmus test was my wife cried. Both of
them. Yeah. And we've had two performers. He was 86 at the time.
Yes.
And Dorrit who was a flautist from the Boston Philharmonic. She was, what, 91?
91, 92,
and she performed.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah, really great stuff. Well, the 2015 inductees this year include, as we've been running down the list, Ron Carter, an American jazz double bassist. Henry Jaskiewicz, who is chairman and CEO of Gibson Guitars, with that great backstory that Bruce filled you in on. William Warfield, who passed away in 2002 at the age of 82, but of course an internationally acclaimed bass baritone. Wilmer and the Dukes, as we've been talking about, and Gap Mangione. And let's just listen a little bit to Gap, to the stylings of Gap Mangione. This is the Gap theme, and then we'll come back and talk about Gap. Jazz is Gap is a jazz pianist, a composer, arranger, band leader, and of course has a very, very Rochester story. In fact, we've talked to him on this program about some of his own upbringing. He was there in '64 when the so-called race riots were happening, and there's so much that Gap is tied to our town. But there's just a taste of his music. Let me go around the table. Tracy, what do you think about Gap?
Well, he's synonymous with Rochester, as you just said, and someone asked me what my favorite thing about Gap was, and I guess I'd have to say, besides his talent, his smile. He's always smiling.
Oh, the preternaturally in a good mood. Yeah.
He seems like an upbeat guy all the time.
Carl?
Well, being a pianist myself, I've always looked up to him, and he has always been an inspiration to me, and, you know, one of my all-time favorites.
Bruce?
Just the history that this guy's lived through. I mean, he played the Newport Jazz Festival in the 60s with John Coltrane. He's been on the same stage with Miles Davis. And, you know, you'll see some of it in the film. First of all, when Chuck was inducted, he got up there and the first thing he said is, "I don't know why you inducted me. You should be inducting my brother." And, you know, it has always been our intention to bring Gap into this family. But, you know, his mom and dad had this incredibly open family. You know, again, early 60s, it wasn't a common thing to invite people from different races into your home and share dinner with them. And, you know, his father just loved jazz and got his two sons into it. And, you know, the funny thing of it was is it wasn't kind of like the backstage mom and dad, "Well, here's our kids, let them play with you." These kids got up and played with Dizzy Gillespie and those kinds of people because they were great musicians and they were recognized. And, you know, Gap's just iconic.
Well, I think that is just another reminder that music can break down barriers among people. And when you think about the 1960s, we heard that story of Gap's, of their family business and the way, even during some of the grimmest moments of what happened in Rochester in 1964, the Mangionis were left alone. They were loved and really, really respected. And you certainly understand why, but it's interesting, Bruce, to hear that really, in many ways, the seed of that just making friends, who cares about your background, your socioeconomics, your race, starts with music in many ways, it sounds like.
And the fact that Gap never left Rochester, Chuck, for whatever reason, decided to relocate, although Rochester's been very close to Chuck all the years, but Gap has always stayed here. He's been an icon here, and his audience has never died off. I mean, he just keeps bringing new people out to see him wherever he plays.
All right, I only have a few minutes left. Let's make sure that we understand sort of the full slate of performances, because it is going to be a packed show. It always is. It's Sunday the 26th at 7 p.m. at the Kodak Hall at the Eastman Theater for the Rochester Music Hall of Fame induction ceremony that we've been talking about on this Arts Friday. And so we've been kind of giving you a little taste, but let's for those who are just joining us, let's make sure we run down what's coming up that night. I'll follow your lead, guys. Set the stage for us as best you can.
Well, we have our five inductees this year, and we're going to have a musical tribute that honors each of them. William Warfield, of course, we're going to reunite the surviving members of Wilmer Alexander and the Dukes. Gap's going to play with a 15-piece big band. He's going to do three or four songs. That'll be great. And then, of course, the Gibson All-Stars, which will be Daughtry and Pat Travers and Randy Bachman. So it'll be a packed show. It'll be really great.
Okay. Carl, go ahead.
We also have a surprise opening act, which every year is amazing. We can't give away any details on this, but I can tell you it's going to be another spectacular act.
All right. So are you saying this has become a tradition?
Yes.
Well, last year
Can you tell us who they've been in the past?
Well, we did. We put together a Primetime Funk with Donnie Mancuso and Jeff Costco singing Smoke on the Water, and that was kind of in reference to the House of Guitars. It's like the ultimate guitar riff song. And of course, we opened up the doors in the back, and down the aisles came the Upstate Empire Marching Band. So to hear Smoke on the Water played with a marching band and a rock band, we have people on their feet right in the beginning.
Yeah. And no hints on similar plans? You can't?
No hints.
Okay.
No hints. But it will be very entertaining.
It will.
It will be legal, too. So.
Yes, it will.
It will be legal?
Yes.
We try to keep things legal.
Yeah.
When you're producing a show like this, Bruce, do you feel like you want to aim big for, whether it's Lou Gramm with a choir, those big sort of soaring moments?
Well, of course, being affiliated with the Grammys, that's they always open up with a blockbuster. It's always, Madonna with Pavarotti or something like that. So it's going to be a mashup kind of thing, and it'll be, I think people will like it. And we're going to try to always do that with every show, is just try to have a jaw dropper for the beginning.
Before I let you guys go here, I'm curious to know, because Carl, you mentioned you play music, but what do you play?
Well, my dad was a piano and violin teacher, so I was brought up playing piano, and probably started at 6 years old.
Okay. So. And still do?
Yeah, I still do. I play... I've played in bands for quite a number of years. Mostly now it's just solo piano type of thing. So I still enjoy it very much. And it kind of makes retirement a little bit easier when you can slowly back off instead of just retiring and getting a gold watch.
Yeah. Tracy?
Carl used to tune my piano, and I would wait for the moment after he was all done to listen to him play, and he would play. He'd give me my private, concert for about 15 minutes. It was great. I don't play. I have sung here and there, but mostly Carl brought me on because I had a music blog, and I used to write a lot about the local music scene, and I'm really passionate about our local music scene and the talent we have, and I want to give a little plug to Primetime Funk, who have been our house band. This will be their fourth year, and, man, they work hard. And they work well with everybody, and all of our inductees have commented on how great it is to work with them.
Underrated importance for that, isn't it?
They're a future inductee, I'm sure of it.
You are giving away a part of future ceremonies there.
There you go.
They're on the list.
They're
on the short list. Bruce, you play?
Yeah, I played a bunch of different instruments when I was much younger. I don't play professionally anymore, but I enjoyed the other side of the glass. I got into artist management, and I do public relations. I work with Meatloaf, Little River Band, Whitesnake, Asia, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. Those are all my guys I work with.
And Tracy, given the work that you've done just sort of following the music scene, what's one little gem that you like locally? I'm not talking about Hall of Fame, et cetera, but what's a gem, either a location to see a great show or maybe a name or a band that you love to see that people ought to know about?
Wow. I don't know. I'd have to say that Abilene. I love going down there. Danny Deutsch. Scorgies.
He's a big supporter.
Scorgies from way back in the day. I mean, you know, there's so many people in this city who have all these nuggets of history about what the scene was like in the 60s and 70s. And my goal is someday to maybe turn that into a book.
All right. Well, thank you for running down the plans coming up here. And Carl LaPorta, if they want to get online to get tickets, they go where?
www.rochestermusic.org.
Rochestermusic.org or Wegmans House of Guitars, the Eastman Box Office for tickets. Again, it's Sunday, April 26th at 7 p.m., the Rochester Music Hall of Fame induction ceremony for the class of 2015. Bruce Pilato, Carl LaPorta, Tracy Croft, great fun this hour. It's always fun. I was going to say we ought to do this more often, but let's just keep doing it every year.
Absolutely.
We'll be back.
And congratulations on the show that you've already been able to put together. I know it's a lot of work, so we'll have a lot of fun on the 26th. Short break now, and shifting our attention to a new film festival next hour on Arts Friday.